Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
He says, believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Christ dwells in the soul by faith, and the soul is filled with the fullness of God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's go into a recent Wednesday night sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This is By Faith, Part 1. Let's go into the message today.
Control people go crazy because when they say that Antarctica is going to melt down because of all the heat, God lets a north wind blow and freezes Northwest Florida and snow comes. You know why? Because God will never be outdone. Can we go a little deeper? I'll be done here in a minute. The Bible says, by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Look at your neighbor and tell him you want a good report. Come on, a good report. What does that mean? When we fully believe God's promises, the scripture says we gain God's good report or God's approval. It's not what you do that pleases God. It's what you believe. So by faith, pleasing God requires us to remember our faith. And then it also requires us to recognize God as creator. Verse number 3. You need to understand this. Through faith we understand. I mean, the writer assumes that since you believe God, you understand that he is the creator. That the worlds, not world, not earth, worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. In that one verse, he summarizes all of creation and tells you who created it. Now, why is it important that you believe in God as the creator? Because that's where it all started. And if you don't put your faith in the fact that he's the creator and that line upon line, precept upon precept, that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation, the creation of the world. So in the mind of God, the cross was already in place for the redemption of all of mankind, both back and forward. So God isn't making this stuff up as he goes. He didn't just say one day, hey, let's send Jesus down there and we'll let the Romans crucify him. He already had the Romans in place. He already had them paving the highways called the Roman roads so the gospel could get quicker. And in the fullness of time, the Bible says, God sent his son for the redemption of all mankind. This is powerful because By faith, the Bible says that the worlds were framed. And the Hebrew word here, created, is the term that is used here to denote the creation from nothing. So the writer in Hebrews is confirming the fact that the Creator took nothing, breathed into it, and it became everything. Just a question. Have any of you done that lately? You're arguing with God over whether or not he's going to take care of you, deliver you, set you free, meet your needs, and all this worry and fear and all this torment that's going on inside of your mind that's inflicted also not only by yourself but by Satan himself. And yet, he's the one who created everything out of nothing. The last time he had that conversation with somebody, Job was getting all mad at God, right to the edge of letting him have his mind. And God said, Job, shut up. Where were you when I threw the stars into space and started naming them? And where were you when the moon and the sun was put into place? Oh, I don't care that it was foggy today and you couldn't see the sunshine. Above that fog, above the mist, above the mystery, above the doubt and unbelief and all the things that are clouding your heavens, there is a sun that is shining, rest assured. I hurry. When God spoke, He not only created the matter, but he created the age as well. So under scientific examination, the universe he spoke into became the previous day, being the previous day, could legitimately then appear to be billions of years old. You believe in dinosaurs? Sure. I don't know exactly, and all of you that are in Brother John Taylor's class have got a handle on all this. You should get into that class, 24 hours to learn the Bible. You should get in that class because he studies this all in depth. But I'm just going to tell you, you believe in dinosaurs running around? I believe that the firmament was above and the firmament beneath. And in that aquarium of creation, things grew to enormous amounts. I can take you to Guatemala today, and they've got watermelons the size of the back end of a pickup truck. Dinosaurs? I have no problem believing in dinosaurs. You got their bones, their fossils, and all that kind of stuff laying down there. I don't know exactly how much time he gives us age. How do you know that? Because when Adam was created and put inside of the garden, he had to be old enough to sustain life, not born into that garden as an infant. So age is what God is speaking of. That's another whole story. I'm sorry, I got way off there. So the issue then, when we're looking at this, the issue is not faith in knowledge. It's faith, for me, in the finished work of the cross. It's not faith in faith, and it's not faith in knowledge. Come on, somebody. It's faith in the finished work of the cross, because knowledge will only get me what knowledge will get me, but Christ gives me everything. By faith. That the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. How do you know that? There's so much to this. I'm skipping ahead. 2 Corinthians gives us the synopsis of all that it should be. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Come on, say it out loud with me. Ready? For we
walk by faith, not by sight.
Please remember that. Now, what is walking? What is he saying? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is one of the five senses. So he's saying to you, we walk by faith, not by feeling. And I'm going to tell you, one of the number one enemies of your faith is your visual, your sight. Your five senses will be an enemy to your faith. All you'll have to do is sit down and hear a little bit of news report. You hear it in your ear. You see the video of it in your mind. And you believe what it says because I saw it with my own eyes. Right? I saw it. Several years ago, I went to Waveland after Hurricane Katrina. Waveland, Mississippi. We were doing some work over there and bringing some supplies over there. And I took a little video footage for the television program. And the guy who was editing all of the video footage for me, when we got over there, he was taking some film of it and all. I was walking around talking about it. And in the middle of all this decimation, there wasn't a house standing down there on the beach in Waveland. The faucet is one faucet is running water out. Out of all that place, you just see it. It's just this lone look. So he took some video footage of it. We got back, and this guy comes to me a little bit later, a week or two later, and he says, Pastor, I got all this footage, but he said, when I took this footage right here, it didn't look right, so I reversed it on the video. He said, come here, look at this. He said, on the video, because of the way the shot was, there was nothing out there, it was just a shot, but the water was running out, and it didn't look like it should, so he said, I reversed it, so actually the water is running back into the pipe. Now, if you looked at it, you'd say, that water's running right out of that pipe. It wasn't until he told me that he reversed the video that it's running back in the pipe. But what I saw with my eyes looked like it was running out. Let me help some of y'all. You went to Ripley's, believe it or not. You walk right up to the front door, and there's this faucet hanging in the air, and the water's coming down. And you're going, this is suspended in midair. And they won't let you touch it because there's a pipe inside of there that's pumping the water back up and it's coming back down. But it's a visual illusion. And where are we today? We're living more in a virtual world than ever before. Your kids, They know how to pick up the phone and go wherever they want to in a second. And the next thing you know, they are out of this world and into another world. Same thing with us. But it's not real. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For we walk by faith. That's more assurance. It would be better for you to close your eyes than it would for you to look on the horizon and see the stuff that's affecting your faith. Come on now. Here's the third thing. Realize the rewards of your faith. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. We must believe God is just and rewards us for diligently seeking him. God said, I'll pay you just for looking for me. Did you look for him today? Then there's a payday. Say amen, somebody. What does Jeremiah tell us? Jeremiah 29:13. A few weeks ago, we brought this to your understanding in 2020 vision. And you shall seek me, and you'll find me. You'll seek me, and you find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Seek me. Seek me. God rewards us in different ways, and at least these three kinds of faith right here. Here we go. This is the end of this message here tonight. Here we go. Number one, in saving faith. Somebody say saving faith. How do you know you're saved? By faith. How many of you got up this morning, or maybe some morning this past, earlier this week, and you didn't feel saved? I got one honest person, two, three, four. They keep coming in. You're like the slow boat from China. All right. There's going to be some days you're going to get up and you're going to go, I don't feel saved today. And so if my salvation was resting on my feelings, there would be more days that I don't feel saved than I do. That's the reason why I got to take hold of it by faith. Now, when it gets to that point, are you with me right here? Come on. Are you with me right here? When it gets to that point, you got to go ahead and walk this thing out by faith, whether you feel it or not. I told someone today, one of the best things you could do. They're saying, you know, this thing of the Spirit's working on me and all that kind of. I said, listen, get that praise and worship music that works for you. Turn it on. Turn it on loud. Fill your head with it. Get your spirit rejuvenated with faith-building praise and worship, faith-building word, faith-building preaching and teaching. Say amen. Amen. There is the calming faith that comes when Jesus stood on the boat and commanded them, the waters and the wind, to cease. Before that took place, Jesus was asleep. They were fearful, and Jesus was trying to show them, I'm on board the boat. It'll be all right. I'm on board. How many of you got Jesus on board the boat? Yeah. Then calm down. He's got it. Yeah. Why are you sleeping? Basically, he's saying, you might should be sleeping too. You should be resting in me. Come on, say amen, somebody. Number three, empowering faith. Empowering faith. What's this all about? Experiencing God's power. You know when you put, have you ever had an answer to your prayer when you put your faith in there? Sure you have. You know what that does? For me, that's like sick 'em to a dog. Because if I get one prayer answered, I want to get another one. If I get one soul saved, I want to get another one. If I get one prayer answered, one blessing, I'm looking for the next one. Sometimes I have a hard time stopping to celebrate the blessings that have come on me already for looking for what God has in store for me, the evidence of things I cannot see. This empowering faith is so necessary because the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, that when Jesus left out of one location and went to his own hometown, and you would think they're going, oh, here comes Jesus. Come on into Nazareth and everything's great. We believe you, who you are. Instead, they started questioning who he was. And the Bible says that he could do no mighty works in that city because of unbelief.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.